President Trump says there's nothing to hide. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. Ahead of a House vote expected tomorrow he now supports, related to the Jeffrey Epstein scheme, sex trafficking underage girls. House Speaker Mike Johnson tells Fox,
President Trump has clean hands. He's not worried about it. I talk to him all the time. He has nothing to do with this.
The president's been telling Republicans not to fall into a Democrat trap, but Fox's Mark Meredith of the White House says it's
a big U-turn for President Trump. He is now encouraging House Republicans to vote this upcoming bill in the House, which would basically compel the Department of Justice to release its files on the convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein, who died in prison back in 2019. The post on Truth Social overnight, the president saying House Republicans should vote to release the files because we have nothing to hide and it's time to move on from this Democrat hoax perpetuated by radical left lunatics in order to deflect from the great success of the Republican Party.
The U.S. military blew up another boat off the Venezuelan coast, the 21st strike in the operation targeting illegal drug trafficking. Three more suspected smugglers killed, bringing the total number to 83. But President Trump told reporters last night there could be talks with a Venezuelan dictator who's wanted in the U.S.
We may be having some discussions with Maduro, and we'll see how that turns out.
A record number of Americans are planning to travel for Thanksgiving next week. AAA estimates nearly 82 million. Most will drive, but 6 million plan to take flights. As air travel gets back to normal, the FAA lifted all restrictions this morning.
The restrictions impacted 40 major U.S. airports. FAA leaders say the restrictions were needed to deal with the impacts of the government shutdown, including a shortage of air traffic controllers and TSA agents.
Fox's Ryan Schmelz, a police officer, is hospitalized in New York City after being shot this morning responding to the scene of a deadly shooting in Brooklyn. Luckily, the officer only grazed in stable condition. The gunman fled. Police in New York City also keep searching for whoever shot an NFL player, critically injuring Chris Boyd of the Jets over the weekend. America's listening to Fox News.
The children of our nation know little to nothing about 9/11, but the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is righting this wrong by helping teachers educate kids in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their nonfiction first-person accounts are told through videos and the Discovering Heroes book series. The Institute offers full scripted curriculum units with background for teachers, a speakers bureau for classrooms, a mobile exhibit that's an interactive museum with 9/11 artifacts and FDNY guides. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org.
I used to stand in the paint aisle staring at all those products and wondering which one actually worked. I wasted so much money on things that didn't help. Then I tried BlueStop, and let me tell you, it works. It soothes my sore joints and stiff muscles fast, absorbs quickly, and even smells great. Millions of people already trust BlueStop, and now I do too. No prescription, no waiting. It's on the shelf right now at Walmart. If you want real relief, choose BlueStop and feel the difference. BlueStop at Walmart.
From the News 11 Information Desk, I'm Madeline Murray. A family honored a lost loved one with a vigil this weekend. Yuma locals gathered at Kennedy Memorial Park in remembrance of Jacob Sims, who was murdered in Winter Haven in November of last year. The vigil was led by Sims' grandmother and mother, who were joined by friends of Jacob and his family. The gathering included a moment of silence and a speech from a member of Sims' church. The vigil marked exactly 1 year since Sims' passing. And locals across Yuma attended the annual Colorado River Crossing Balloon Festival hosted by the Caballeros de Yuma. They had a static display earlier on Saturday of about 25 balloons until getting ready for the big show, the glow part of the festival. All proceeds from the Caballeros will go towards their scholarship program and donations at the end of the year. The event had many food vendors and a band for families to enjoy. The event coordinator says that they are already in the planning stages for next year's festival. Catch us on this TV side on News 11 every weekday at 5, 6, and 10 p.m. for your latest local news, weather, and sports.
Partly cloudy today with a high of 73. Increasing clouds tonight. Chance of showers late, 57 for the low tonight. Partly cloudy, 67. Occasional rain on Tuesday. And cloudy, slight chance of rain at 50 on Tuesday night.
This is the time of the year most of us are checking off our holiday gift list. Identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on that list. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every single second and alerts you to the threats you could miss yourself. If your identity is stolen, your own U.S.-based restoration specialist is going to work to fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% off your first year at LifeLock.com with the promo code BECK. Terms apply.
There's no place like home for the holidays, so make yours shine with Dream Luxe Remodeling. From spa-like bathrooms to stunning energy-efficient windows and doors, Dream Luxe brings you affordable luxury without the stress. Beautiful grout-free showers, energy-saving windows, and top-quality products from Kohler, Delta, and Anderson. Schedule your free consultation today at dreamlux.us or call 928-236-5694. Dream Luxe. Affordable. Local. Luxurious.
What is your healing power? Maybe your healing power is helping veterans with PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, depression, anxiety, or loneliness. Is your healing power a simple, heartfelt letter or being a volunteer? It is estimated that over 500,000 current warfighters will return from service diagnosed with PTSD, and 22 veterans will commit suicide every day. Our veterans have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our country. At HealVets.org, you can find out more about the healing power of pen pals, volunteers, therapy kits, and more. Discover your healing power at HealVets.org. Help Heal Veterans, together with you, has been helping one recovering veteran at a time. We are helping veterans heal together. What is your healing power? To find out about your power, visit HealVets.org. This PSA is sponsored by Help Heal Veterans.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Josh, thanks for coming.
Absolutely.
I was totally surprised that you agreed to this because you're such a big celebrity.
No, that's not true. I'm underground.
I ran into you because I got done with the gym and I'd been thinking, like, I'm putting on a lot of weight and not in a good way. I gained like 20 pounds in the last month. I just let myself go. Mm-hmm. But I tell myself I'm bulking. I'm in a bulking phase.
Very true.
But I thought
good excuse.
Yeah, I was like, maybe I'll explore creatine. Like, I haven't done that since high school.
That's continuing your bulking.
Yeah, shows how much you saw how much I knew when I walked into your store.
Yeah, everyone needs to be informed.
Yeah, and I was quickly humbled because you started rattling off all sorts of things, and I'm like,
we constantly are researching, listening to podcasts, and continue to develop, you know, what's the newest and greatest so that when customers walk in, we can, you know, give them the latest and greatest to get them to their best, you know.
I knew I was out of my league when you're like, well, you can't just come off of this.
Right.
You start taking it. Yeah. You got to do this to get off, and then this and this and this. I'm like, I don't know if that's for me, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd rather just have creatine.
I just like to give people options to, like, you can go real intense or we can gradually get into this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, like, trying to be Mr. Universe or anything.
For sure.
Just trying to get rid of my dad bod.
Yeah, yeah, that's what we try to sustain.
So you run Bravo 6 Nutrition.
Correct.
I mean, right now in your life.
Correct. Scenario is my wife runs Bravo 6 Nutrition. And she manages it, and she crushes it. She does majority of the research and then feeds me with the research that she finds, and we just try to stay in tune with what's the newest and greatest.
So. Has she always been into nutrition like that?
She has. She likes to stay lean, you know, like most women do. And an easy way to do that is follow nutrition and know what's
not
going
eating.
In your body.
Just don't eat.
Yeah, just don't eat, you know. But know what's going in your body and you know, the goods and bads and how to combat different things that you...
So she, I get the impression she teaches you.
She does. She does.
You're like, just tell... That's like my wife. She's a reader, so she can read a book like this.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes me time.
It does.
Because, I mean, I'm
usually reading
slow,
it over and
man,
over again.
It's in there. Yeah, I get it in there. But she just whizzes through it. So I came to the point in my life where I'm like, just read this book. I want to know about this book. And then she just tells me about
it. Then give me the cliff notes.
Yeah. That sounds like what you're doing with nutrition. But when we were in our conversation, you mentioned something about your bicep ripping off
okay.
of its location. And then you told me a story about Bin Laden jumping planes from country to country. I'm like, this guy's either nuts or...
full of it. Yeah, so I lost my bicep in Pakistan in 2011. And I had to come back to the United States. And I basically found my way to Qatar and got an MRI in Qatar. And then...
On foot?
Through air, yeah. Okay. Through air. This was like 2 days after the raid.
Raid on?
On Bin Laden. And so I was not involved in the raid. Let me put that out. I don't want anyone saying
SEAL
I'm the...
SEAL Team 6?
SEAL Team 6. I was involved in some other stuff, but I was not foot in the door for that raid.
But you were aware of it. You were part of it.
It was a long operation that led to that day.
Gotcha. How was it when that happened? Like,
it was intense. So there was, it happened years ago, and I'm sure we can talk about some of this stuff, but there was 19 of us total in country, split out throughout Pakistan, and a few days before the raid took place, we had to kick out, as a special forces guy, we don't, in order to give us more time, we hire people for like chefs and maids and that kind of stuff, so we'll get a house, a safe house in a clandestine location
and locals,
and then we'll hire locals. So we pay them double or triple the going rate. So the going rate for pay in Pakistan is $2 a day. So we pay them $6 a day.
Wow. High rollers.
Yeah, big time. But what it does is it makes people loyal to you.
Yeah. I was going to say, I would be super worried about poison or,
yeah, we had some altercations. We had a guy who was a worker on a house, and he wanted to get married and wanted to be given time off to get married. And this is not a good story, but at his wedding, he was telling people that he was working for Blackwater, and which was not the case. We at the time, it was military. But anyways, couple bearded white guys in Pakistan kind of stands out as much as, especially in the house when you're relaxed. And long story short is they sent his head back. Yeah. Ooh. And some of his family, you know, and so,
to the safe house,
which you never should have known where that house was at.
Right.
And so forth. So there was a lot of bad scenarios in that ordeal. Yeah.
Then you got to move, I'm sure.
Of course. In that house, there was a total of three of us in it. And so,
what's your daily work look like? I mean, you get up, what do you do?
Over there at that time, the daily work would, well, let's start with the evening. For about 12 hours, I would watch UAV feeds.
On a monitor?
On multiple monitors. Watch UAV feeds at night because most bad things happen at night. I would watch UAV feeds.
And that's an unidentified aerial vehicle?
Yeah, exactly. So basically a remote vehicle that's being controlled from the United States.
Unmanned.
Unmanned aerial vehicle.
Not unidentified.
Yeah, unmanned aerial vehicle. And it's being controlled from the United States. And whoever's on shift would give... orders of what needed to happen. So if there was 10 guys meeting at a house, I think there was a 10 o'clock curfew. If there's 10 guys meeting at a house at 11 o'clock at night, it's not for a game of poker. And so would have the aircraft controlled to do a box around the house and watch the house. And there were a lot of times that the there was no more house. So that situation was terminated.
Neutralized. Gotcha.
Because the meeting places would take place and, you know, they would come up with plans to do bad things and you want to stop that before they happen. And then the next day you'd see how so-and-so America, the agency or whatever, Claims Thank God it was never appointed back to us, you know, in country or whatnot. But killed a bunch of civilians and whatnot, which is totally not the case. But here's the deal. Bad guys don't wear uniforms, especially in that type of environment. So it's kind of a propaganda thing going back and forth, which led to riots and at consulates and embassies and that kind of stuff, you know, rock throwing. You just had to be careful. Yeah. And so that was at night. And then during the day, I would do a lot of data collecting, intelligence collecting. I would dress up in man jammies, looking like the locals, down to the wooden shoes. I mean, super uncomfortable, but yeah, it was part of playing the part.
Sure.
Wear a silly hat, a vest, and I would have a side piece over here, and then a few magazines over here in case something happened. So that was my day. It was
gathering intel.
Gather intel during the day, and at night, let's watch these video feeds and make sure that nothing bad is happening.
So. You think it's become more sophisticated? I shouldn't say sophisticated. More less boots on the ground because of AI and technology. Now it seems to me like humans have. Well, you can error, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm not saying you did. I'm saying it just happens. Like even in my law firm here, we try to have technology intervene as much as possible because we have a typo or we have, you know, this or that or the other. And so we use technology to our benefit to make a better experience.
So fast forward how the bicep actually happened. Just to circle back to that, a couple days before the raid took place, we had to kick our maids and our people, our locals out. Because we couldn't let information getting out on what's about to take place. And lo and behold, there's no food.
Because oh, really?
The food was being procured in the local markets. Yeah. And so it was just malnutrition. And on the day of the raid, I was actually rewriting the force protection plan for the embassy, the Islamabad embassy. His house, Bin Laden's house, was 26 miles away from that. And in like 1982, the Taliban actually took over that embassy.
Oh.
So they're like, if they did it once, they'll probably think they can do it again.
Once the raid happened, they were anticipating.
They were anticipating World War III.
Okay.
We've literally been searching for this guy, their main leader for 10 plus years at this time. A long time.
Yeah.
And
since Clinton.
Yeah. For a long time. And we finally terminated the guy. And we expected the worst. Always expect the worst and not be lackadaisical and have bad things happen. So during that time, I was climbing a wall, something silly. I was climbing a wall, and my arm
just hurt. Gave out.
Yeah, yeah. Gave out because lack. This is, goes back to nutrition. This is how important nutrition is.
There you go.
So anyways, made my way to, we had to get out of country. I had to get out of country. Couldn't be any funny looking Americans in country.
Yeah.
Bad things would happen. And so made my way to Qatar, was able to get an MRI. There they said you have 14 days from date of injury to get on an operating table. Went to Spain, went to a couple places, finally made my way back and had a date. So it was like I basically hit back to the United States and went and had an operation.
You made it to D.C., but you said
you
couldn't land there because
no,
Air
so
Force
we did.
One was up.
We did land there. I did. I was by myself. I did land there.
At Reagan? Is that the...
No, it was wherever the president's,
yeah.
Maryland or whatever it's called. And because Air Force One was ready to roll or on, so to speak, the whole entire airport was shut down. And I wasn't going to wait around and however long that was going to take. And linked up with some guy I've never met in my life. And I said, hey, how about I give you a coin of the unit that just took down Bin Laden for a ride back to Fort Bragg, North Carolina. He was going to Florida. And so that Business 95, you take 95 all the way down. And Business 95, is you hit Fort Bragg. And he dropped me off. And he was like so ecstatic that he got this coin. Yeah. So I was just happy I got a ride. So.
Man, I don't know if I would have taken that coin. I would have dropped you off, but just said, no, I'm not taking this. To you, I guess it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I had a few of them. Yeah. for things like that.
Yeah.
So in the SF world, you find things that are currency that people want in order to get things done. And most of the time, like downrange, which people don't like to talk about, it's usually one of two things. It's some type of Gucci gear, like a Special Forces jacket or something like that, or alcohol. I know that sounds ridiculous, but we use that as currency.
Sure.
So a contractor that's making, I don't know, 200 grand a year, tax-free, you know, you can't give him, you know, 50 bucks and go, hey, I want this pallet moved from location A to location B. He's going to be like, get out of here.
Yeah.
But you go, hey, I got this bottle of Jack Daniels, and he's going to be like, what else do you need done?
That's,
you know what
awesome.
I mean? And so that coin was essentially similar situation.
Yeah.
That's a form of currency that he was willing to trade for.
Do they teach that to you in training, or is it you just pick it up?
I think you just pick it up because it's something you don't talk about.
Okay.
It's frowned upon because people act like, well, you're not supposed to do this, you're not supposed to do that. And you're like, but you still need things done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think it's ingenious.
It works in your favor.
So you're a SEAL.
No, I'm definitely not a SEAL.
You're not a SEAL.
I'm not a SEAL. I was, at this time, I was working as a Green Beret at Special Forces in the Army. Yeah. I'm not a SEAL, never been a SEAL.
So what's Green Beret compared to a SEAL? I mean, that's the same, not the same, but on the same level, just in the Army, correct?
I'm going to say stuff that's going to fire people up.
Okay.
All right? So
let's have it. I want to hear it.
Let's do it. So SEALs are equivalent to, like, Rangers, right? Or somewhere
Army
like
Rangers, okay.
Army Rangers. They usually work in smaller efforts, platoon size, that kind of stuff, or they're partitioned out and attached to other teams and stuff.
Okay.
A lot of times, as we saw the global war on terrorism later and later in its life, we started doing more joint effort, started taking on, you know, JTACs, which are our Air Force guys that are trained to drop bombs through aircraft and that kind of stuff. And so we take these different attachments and stuff downrange. So it's not just your 12-man SFODA team. It's your 12-man team plus a few attachments that make it a larger package.
I see. Yeah.
And so SEALs are used in that way a lot of times. SEALs, what I say, are like equivalent to Rangers. To put it this way, to be like top dog in the SEALs, you're like E7. You're the chief. You're in charge of a bunch of other young SEALs. In SF land, almost everybody's in E7. So if you go by rank,
yeah,
it's just a much more experienced level. But then you have SEAL Team 6. So SEAL Team 6 is not the SEALs. It's you've been in the SEALs for a long time, and then you try out for a different organization. It just happens to be called SEALs as well. And so that's where people get confused. Totally separate.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
It's pajama time, Yuma. Join Eldorado Broadcasters and Avenir Financial for DJs for PJs. Collecting new, unused, warm pajamas for families in need. Now through December 14th, drop off donations at our radio station at 755 West 28th Street, Avenir Financial on South 1st Avenue and North Frontage Road in the foothills, and any local Little Caesars Pizza. Let's keep Yuma warm this holiday season.
Did you know if you're an adult living with asthma or COPD, getting sick with pertussis may result in severe complications? Pertussis, or whooping cough, is a serious respiratory illness. Vaccination is the best way to help protect against pertussis. Speak to your healthcare provider to ensure you are up to date on your Tdap vaccination. Learn more at lung.org.
Are they SEALs, though?
They are only SEALs, but they were on the lower levels.
Oh, okay.
And then, so you got The even teams on the East Coast, 2, 4, 6, so forth, and then the odd teams, 1, 3, 5, on the West Coast, being Coronado,
San Diego, yeah.
And so SEAL Team 6, which is actually no longer a thing, that people still call it SEAL Team 6. It's actually Development Group.
That's boring.
That's boring. Dev Group is a little more sexy. That's
that's good.
They but the top notch unit is Delta Force. Hands down.
Out of all the forces.
Out of all the forces, you could actually be from any part of the United States military and try out for Delta Force or be asked to try out for Delta
Force. So what does Delta Force do? We don't talk about it?
No, Delta Force is more hostage rescue, direct action, strategically taking out targets, where Green Berets is, we do that as well, but Green Berets is more jack of all trades, master of none. So
that's what I don't know if it's from the movies or whatever, but I get the impression like Green Berets are, they're everywhere. They can do anything. And the SEALs are more, I don't know, water-based, but yeah, at the same time.
And that's the intention for them. And they, I think as we evolve with this new administration and stuff, I think hopefully we'll be getting, they'll be getting back to that and giving different special operations units different designations. Like your SEALs, guess what? Your water, okay. You know, like, cause
you, so you advocate for that
100%.
What is that?
Because get real good at something.
Oh, I see.
Get really
see.
Good at something.
Yeah.
And then when the call, when there needs to be a call to have someone do something, pick the unit that's the really guys. Good at it.
Yeah.
We have a lot of water in this world. There's a lot of things that happen. Africa is a very hot continent as far as terrorism, that kind of stuff. It's surrounded by water.
Yeah.
There's pirates. There's all kinds of stuff.
Sharks.
There's sharks. Yeah. But Special Forces, traditionally, we're a force multiplier. And what that means is we go into foreign countries and train their indigenous forces to possibly take over their country or assist in their country in other fashions. And so a couple Green Berets will teach a larger force in their country to essentially be self-sustainable in the future.
I know that's our effort. I mean, well, that has been the mantra of the Iraq war, is to build the base to defeat the Taliban and and these terrorist organizations. I don't know if I have a lot of faith in that.
It was a rough upbringing, so to speak. I was involved in Ramadi, the initial push to take Ramadi, which is in Iraq, and at the time it was the largest operation run in Iraq, and this was 2004.
Okay.
Excuse me. 2005. It was in 2005, and we were pulling eyes on one side of the river. SEAL, this was before SF. I was in long range reconnaissance, so I was pulling eyes on basically reconnaissance, and then reporting back what you're seeing. You know, whether it's snap pictures or live video feed, or just reporting back. And what we saw was what you don't see in Iraq, which is Suburbans, American-made Suburbans. And I saw nothing but Suburbans for like hours, with like luggage on top of their Suburbans. Like what was happening was they were just getting out of town. And you're like, what the heck is going on here? Like, first of all, I've never seen Suburbans, you know? It's not something very common. It goes back to working with the locals, working with the Iraqis. And the Iraqis, their military force, they live there, their family lives there, so they would, you know, that little word would travel, and they tell them, hey, well, they're coming on this date, blah, blah, blah. And so before the operation even took place, everyone was exfilling and getting out of town, so it was kind of a dry hole when it first started. So that kind of, operations are supposed to be secret, you know, like you don't want to go somewhere and have them know you're coming.
Yeah, sure.
They say we own the night for a reason, because you're sleeping and we're coming to get you. And so that was a big buzzkill, and that was an eye opener on like really starting to work with the local forces and going. And at this time, there were also a lot of like killings and stuff with like this Iraqi would be training and walk into like a hut with a bunch of Americans and just open up fire.
Right, exactly.
Because you're now working with each other.
Yeah, you're gonna have heroes. I mean, they're gonna want to be a hero.
In a way, I understand some of it.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't fault them necessarily. Yeah. It's like, I fault ourselves thinking we're going to turn these people
100%.
From traditions of hundreds of years.
100%. So we went into their country. We went into their country, completely disrupt their country. Think about all the way down to the lowest level, your privates and that kind of stuff. They're looking for war trophies. They're doing all kinds of stuff they probably shouldn't be doing. They're destroying towns and cities and stuff. And so, yes, you might have got one bad person, but one bad person is replaceable. And that's the difference in like what Special Forces and Special Operations does, is we don't take out one person at a time. We collect on that one person, and then we find a cell of people. Say you're looking for someone making IEDs, roadside bombs.
Yeah, yeah.
So you want to know who's financing. You want to know where's the bomb-making material coming from. Where are those rat lines going through? Logistically, how are they moving? You want to know who's making them, how are they being made, and so forth, and where are they going, and all this other stuff. So then you put this whole cell together of different individuals, and then in the middle of the night when they're sleeping, you go and take them all out at the same time so they can't talk.
I see.
And you take their cell phones and you find, you know, continue to gather intelligence and that kind of stuff. And in Iraq, for instance, majority of the bad guys, they didn't have another source of income. We disrupted their entire country. So they didn't have another source of income, or they found an easy source of income, which was turn bad.
Yeah.
But they weren't bad at night because a lot of their families didn't know what they were doing during the day. So at night they're being dad and they're being husband and they're sleeping during hours of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
So you would go in and disrupt them, and like the entire family's freaking out because they're like, he didn't do anything. This is my husband.
Sure.
He's a good man, you mm-hmm. know? And when you take out one bad guy, you probably build three more because you just disrupted that.
Yeah, for generations, I would argue.
For generations. I mean, look at ISIS, for instance, right? So ISIS basically is Iraq and Syria. That what happened was, we go into Iraq late 2001, 2002. We disrupt the entire country. Well, the mothers and children leave to the nearest country that's willing to take them, which is Syria. And because either the husbands were fighting or dying or whatnot, so the mothers and children left. The mothers didn't have work in Syria, so they turned to like prostitution, and it's just a mess, right?
Yeah.
The children are like either living on the streets or not living a good life.
Left at home, yeah, sure.
And fast forward, you know, 10 years, formed ISIS because those young children turned into fighting males. And what do they want to do? They want to go back to their mainland, which was Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And we literally started ISIS with when we terminated Gaddafi that in Libya. And we also, at the same time, we started the Syrian regime in Syria. We started a group of people to kind of take over that country because it was a mess. Well, that group then split into two, good and bad.
Yeah.
Those weapons from Libya, when Gaddafi was killed, were then taken and placed into Syria. And all of a sudden, the good and bad, well, that bad turned into ISIS. And our government literally started that. And that's some of the stuff's not really talked about, but it's like we've started a lot of these world problems.
And as you're talking, I'm thinking, I'm not anti-military at all. I'm for the military, but I go back and forth. Why are we there? You know, like
100%.
I understand.
20 years.
Sure.
20 years. Why?
I get the argument that, well, we have to cut off the head of the snake before there's an attack again, like 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I understand that. But is it worth it when we create, in my opinion, generations of hatred mm-hmm. towards us?
Absolutely.
It's just going to perpetuate this
towards cycle. The Western world.
Right.
Yeah.
Would it not be just better? I don't know if this is an answer, or maybe I'm just naive, to just stop trying to police the world and let's get back home and build robust barriers of defense.
And I think with that, that's a lot of what this administration's thought process is right now. We got problems here, boss, in America. Let's build America. And if you notice in Iran, we didn't go to Iran. We flew into Iran, dropped a bomb, and then flew back out.
I wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah, so that's the new way of thinking. And it's not new.
Awesome, man.
It's not new. Listen, our stuff's better than everybody's, right? So we can have peace through strength.
Yes.
And basically, we can threaten people and say, cut it out. Leave your people alone. Stop terrorizing your people, being Iran or wherever at. Stop terrorizing whoever you're terrorizing, or we're going to do bad things to you.
Yeah.
And we just showed that we will do bad things. So the rest of the world knows mm-hmm. that America's not playing.
Yeah.
And we're not putting – here's my personal opinion. Never again do we need to put mass boots on ground in any country. Ever. And there's
you're talking like to the scale of World War II. Sorry to interrupt you.
To the scale of just this local, not local, but the recent global war on terrorism.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So
19, for example, in your case, around Bin Laden, right? So why do we need you're saying we don't even need that in those countries.
So no, mass boots on ground.
Mass boots. Okay.
So in today's environment, we need UAVs. We need special operations guys, because we need to find targets and be able to laze targets. You need might need a guy on the ground with a laser and saying, hey, it's over there. I need you to hit this one right here.
Okay.
You know, and we need data collection, which is done through human intelligence, going into villages, talking to elders and talking to people saying, who's messing with you? Where are the bad people coming from? So you need that factor, but you don't need a bunch of young military service members disrupting a country ever again. You don't need a bunch of people. Put it this, I'll give you a great example. So Afghanistan, 2002 to 2006 or seven, I think we lost like 600 people. And I'm not totally positive on these numbers. I think we lost a total of like 600 people. And that was quite a few years, 2001 to two to six or seven. Iraq ends and General Petraeus, oh, he did the surge and had all these people go to Iraq. Well, think of Iraq as a flat country, right? You can put all these people there and kind of get things done or whatnot by a large force. But Afghanistan is not that. Afghanistan is basically a series of like mountaintops.
Hmm.
How many people can you stick on mountaintops? And so from like 08 to 2010, I think was like 2,000 people lost because you just took an influx of untrained people. Now, you start running out of people. You start sending National Guard and all this other things to the rotation. Either people want a piece of the pie, people as in units, generals, whatever, and you're just trying to fill these slots. Well, these are untrained people. The reason we didn't hardly lose anybody in the first few years is because we were doing clandestine operations and building intelligence, not just destroying.
Hmm.
And so through those later years, we lost all kinds of people because we just started bringing all these people in. We don't need that ever again. It's a perfect example of we need trained people specified in whatever environment that needs to be taken care of. And so that involves special operations, involves aviation, involves UAV, which is still aviation, and possibly artillery. And other than that, I mean, yes, there may be, you know, depending on the situation, maybe some more little things here and there. We don't need battalions worth of soldiers and Marines and sailors and it turns into like we're pulling there. You need people to pull road guards and pull gate duty and all this other stuff. It's just like out of majority of people got hurt in Iraq war was through roadside bombs. So like people lost legs and they might not have died. So they didn't hit the tally of death, but they're now walking around with missing leg or an arm or whatever. So majority of the incidences of injuries, casualties and stuff took place because of roadside bombs. It wasn't a gunfight. It wasn't, oh my God, this guy's shooting at me. I got to shoot back at him. And we don't need that again. Because if we're going to a country and we're going and fighting in their backyard, they're going to do everything they can to keep their livelihood, right, to keep their home, to keep their family safe. Mm-hmm. And so moving forward, we just need to be more strategic. And this administration dropping a bomb on Iran is a very good example of a strategic play that shut the rest of the world up. There's a lot of communication happening right now with Russia and China and all this other stuff because America's not going to play. If you do something, we're
nefarious,
some type of malfeasance, you do something, we're going to take action.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be polite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that day that happened, obviously we were all surprised because they played it close to the vest. Thankfully,
mm-hmm.
for the first time, I think for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a very super smart play till it all happened. And I was just like, dude, I am proud to be an American.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
Like, that was a good day.
Absolutely.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
November is the month of deals at Firearms Unknown. The clock is ticking, so don't let a day go by without a Firearms Unknown daily deal. With daily deals up to 90% off, Firearms Unknown is your holiday headquarters. Take advantage of our daily deals at our Yuma store or online through November. Don't forget to come back on Black Friday for our one-day-only super deals on guns, ammo, knives, targets, and accessories for the shooter on your shopping list. Firearms Unknown, 801 West 32nd Street or firearmsunknown.com.
So Pure Talk is offering unlimited talk, text, and data on a crazy fast 5G network for just $29.95 a month for life. Not your phone's life, your life. This top-tier plan is normally $65 a month, but if you switch today, you'll save over 50% every month for the rest of your life. You might say it's the deal of your lifetime. Just dial #250, say Mike Rowe. Offer expires 12/7. Some restrictions apply. Details at puretalk.com.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
So the media always wants, you know, transparency. They're like, well, when are you going to do this? It's like they want to know all this information. And it's like I heard President Donald Trump say, this was like a week ago, like, I'm not going to tell you that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not giving the keys to what is taking place here. When you'll know when it happens.
Exactly.
But we'll report on it after it happens.
Yeah, some things
if,
you just can't.
If it happens and it doesn't happen, you know, we're not just going to tell you it's going to happen so someone can prepare for something.
Exactly right, yeah. So you get home, and how was that? I mean, transitioning from war life to normal life.
I've been deployed a few times. There's a funny story. It's called the Story of Six Boys or something like that. I can look it up and give it to you. And it, what's really funny is we love to call it patriotism. We love to say, yeah, I joined for patriotism. I joined in 1999. So it was essentially a year and a half, 2 years or whatever before September 11th took place. Majority of people, and people don't want to have this conversation, but majority of people that joined the military is they were probably running for something or trying to fix something.
Okay.
They joined because they weren't doing well in life. They were not college.
Kind of like no more options. Like, I don't know what
else.
Not
saying no more options, but they're using the military to better themselves.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
And it's a good choice.
Sure.
I would think that a lot more Americans should be joining the military. When you're struggling, making $1,500 a month and just struggling to make it, you could, starting day one in the military, you make like $2,000 a month. But you have a roof over your head and you're always going to have your belly full. So that money goes to your car, your cell phone, and your car insurance. Like, things are paid. And people don't understand that. Like, your average civilian out here, like, if a lot more people would join the military, fit people, qualified people, you know, we would have a lot better choices of people to work in different environments.
Yeah.
I think it's like 76% of America's unfit for the military. Over fat, has a felony, has different head issues,
sure.
You know.
Yeah.
And which equals like 76%. And that's a very high number.
Yeah, it's gross.
And it is gross. And it starts at the very youngest age. We're not, as parents, we need to do better. Our school systems need to do better. We're pretty weak as a country.
Yeah.
We need
My personal opinion, sorry to interrupt you. I know it's not all China, but I think our adversaries are definitely behind pushing that, and they just play this game, this 100%. Slow game, just slowly deteriorating our society.
If you look at TikTok in China, it's educational. If you look at TikTok in America, it's nefarious.
Yeah.
I mean, it's whatever you want it to be.
It's mind-numbing. Yeah.
I will say this. You can get news faster on TikTok than you can watching majority of any news outlet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And faster. You know, dang near live. And, but it's just like kids are like this, their phone is this. That's why kids today, majority of kids, you know, by the age of, I don't know, 10 are already in glasses.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
Cause they're staring at tablets, they're staring at phones, and it's an electronic babysitter. And, you know, they're learning from things like YouTube. And, and as parents, we need to make sure we know what they're watching, so that they're not going down a path that's going to lead them into a bad direction later in life.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
you get back, and how was that transition? Were you married the whole time?
I was married at that time to my first wife. Military is hard on families.
I was going to say, so that answers my question.
Yeah, military is hard on families. What I was getting at is there's the story of six boys. There's six of us. And we all came from different places in the country before the military. Well, eventually we all became Special Forces guys. And the great thing about Special Forces guys is we all bring different things to the table. And collectively, holistically, as a whole, is what makes us great. You may have been a, you know, a mechanic in your previous life. This guy may have been a farm boy who's good at, you know, procuring food and finding food and doing all this other stuff. And this guy may have been, I don't know, whatever. But all these different pieces of the pie, when you're downrange and you're like, hey, we need to get this thing working. Someone within that group. And then plus we go into training and learn a bunch of stuff as well.
Like MacGyver.
Yeah. We can make things happen.
Yeah.
And when those skills that you thought you didn't need that you learned well before, like maybe a guy was stealing cars.
Yeah.
And that's what led him to join in the military. Doesn't mean he's a bad kid or bad. He had a upbringing that was different. Doesn't mean he's a bad person. But you're in a country and you're like, hey, we need to get out of here. Let's go get a car. And he's like, I got you.
Yeah.
We're a bunch of hooligans. We are. We're a bunch of hooligans. And the story of Six Boys kind of explains that. And it says we all came from different places. And when we get back from Pakistan or back from Afghanistan, Iraq, or wherever we're at, a lot of my friends did a lot of stuff in South America. It's about brotherhood.
Yeah.
And the reason we do this type of stuff is because of the people on our left and right. Do we do it for God and country?
I wondered about that.
You can say that. But as you start building this team mentality and this brotherhood with individuals, out of those six guys that I'm talking about, none of us actually were on the same team. We all were in different places in the military over time.
Yeah.
But when we came back stateside, we hung out. We did great things. We'd have family over. We'd do all this other stuff. Really what we did was we went to bars and we rode our Harleys. And that's a lot of what the story is about is – we would go on these deployments and put in for these extra deployments. So we would have extra money for extra parts on our Harleys.
That's funny.
And that's what's kind of funny about it. It's not necessarily about God and country. It was about brotherhood.
Yeah.
And it teaches you a lot. And that's from the time you're young, 18, 19, 20, until you know, 40 years old. I'm 46 now, but I've been out for a few years. I retired in 2016. I did 17. I got out early medically.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
But you build those relationships and you know, if you get the call at 2 o'clock in the morning, it's, and a certain person calls you, it's, do you need me to grab a shovel? Well, you know, you don't ask, you just go.
Yeah.
Those
are bonds that are forged in adversity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we did it for each other. We did it for our left and right. And we would make sure that everybody was as safe as we could be.
I watch movies like Private Ryan, you know, the opening scene when they start storming the beach and they start rolling down that boat's hole.
Yeah, yeah, the ramp. And they just
people just get mown down. And I'm like, why?
What was the purpose of that?
Not only that, it's like, why? I wouldn't be there. Like, I'd be, see ya.
And that's what I'm talking about. We don't need to have boots on ground.
Yeah.
What did that solve?
Right.
I think, especially in today's environment, we have a lot more technology. Marine Corps. Like, your purpose is to go hit a beach. Like, that's literally your purpose. China and beach. And we're not doing a lot of beach landings anymore.
Right.
So, like, we kind of need to morph into something different and find out what is best advantageous for our service, our military. And it to me, it's not putting boots on ground and saying, like, we're going to defend this country. It's we're going to send a couple people in with a bunch of technology, and we're going to destroy whatever needs, or we're going to data collect. I mean, data collection goes a lot farther than destroying something, because dead people don't talk. And
the psyche of giving the ultimate sacrifice of your life, like you said, God or country. And I don't know. It's like, I don't know if I love my country, but do I love my country enough to sacrifice my life? But I don't think, and this is just me from a outsider's perspective. Like you said, it's not so much that you're fighting for your country. You are.
Mm-hmm.
You wear that uniform, but it's more of your brotherhood.
I don't think we think necessarily about the country thing. But every time I hear a national anthem, I have to hold tears in.
Oh, yeah.
Just thinking about it right now.
Sure, sure.
I literally have so much pride in that American flag because of what this country stands for. Mm-hmm. Not even necessarily what we've done. What we did, yes, to hold it. Hold what we got as a country, but just what this country stands for. And if you don't think this country is great, like, have you looked what's 6 miles over there? as a funny looking white guy, like, you wouldn't survive very long in walking down a certain street.
Mm-hmm.
And this country is great. And when I see that American flag, like I if I hear a national anthem, like it's holding back tears literally every time.
I wonder if you get frustrated 100%. From time to time when you, I guess you're in politics now,
right?
You're part of the Republican Party here locally. And so when you see things in the country just going bizarre or contrary to what you, your morals or your values, let's say, I'm sure you're frustrated. You like, I put so much, I did so much.
Well,
and
look at,
now you're just smearing it.
Afghanistan, we pulled out after 20 years and we left everything there for them to have and all this other stuff. It's like, what did we do this for? How many friends did we lose? I lost my best friend in 2015, pretty late. And he was, there was a roadside bomb that went off, which was actually just a distraction. That was the bloodiest day in Afghanistan. It killed 206 people, civilians, which was the distraction, which is sad. The distraction for the Mongolian horde of bad guys to come inside this special operations base he was the commandant of. Well, under Obama, under the rules of engagement at that time, your job was to run and hide if bad guys come in the wire. Listen, that's kind of where we went down as a country. When we have bad leadership, our rules of engagement, when we have access to guns and tools to close with and destroy the enemy, we should never have a call to go run and hide and wait to be given the clear to all to come out. So basically it was like him and another guy, another friend of mine who's now paralyzed from the same thing, fighting off hundreds of people. And he took a shot to the face and with his head sticking up. But saved like 360 people that day.
Jeez.
And that was pretty much my last straw with the military. I got out shortly after. I ticked off a lot of people, but I didn't wear a military uniform to the funeral. And it was in Rhode Island, and I didn't wear a uniform. I wore a suit. But the way I looked at it is if we had a better leadership in the country at the time, he'd still be here today. And that was kind of my last straw. Like, what are we doing this for? Why are we involved in something and letting politicians and people who've never put bootstraps on and carried a gun in the sand make decisions for us? And I left frustrated and kind of was under a rock for a few years after that, which kind of led me to the political game.
What got you out?
I got out medically.
No, what got you out of from under that rock?
Oh, it's
personally,
I wasn't like deeply under a rock. I just kind of disengaged from a lot of, close friends and stuff. I was just frustrated. And that transformation from active duty to civilian life is difficult. It is very difficult. Because you don't know, no one has a plan when they get out. They go, okay, what should I do? What can I do? What should I do? What looks the next avenue? So at first I, went to be a federal air marshal. I had that job lined up before I got out. It sounded great. I did it for about 5 months and I was like, absolutely not. This is terrible.
Why?
You're staring at your watch all the time. What do you do when you get on an airplane? Unless you have your computer and you're working. If you're not working, say you're on vacation, what do?
You just watch the screen in front of you?
And probably go to sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is the only thing, like, one of the main things that you're not allowed to do. So your entire plane is passed out, and you're, like, sticking needles in your eyes to stay awake.
Uh-huh.
Now, mind you, you're flying to foreign countries, and you're long flights and all this stuff. And it was just, and then you get to the hotel, and you're trying to find a hotel gym to work out at, which are not very good.
In foreign, yeah, sure.
Yeah. And then you're trying to get some food in your belly. You go to sleep and you end up staring at your watch all night thinking, trying to do math on your fingers about what time zone you're in, what time you got to wake up because you got to do it all over again the next day.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No.
And it was just not a line of work. That
was it good pay, though?
At the time, yeah. It was above six figures starting, which was good. Mm-hmm. It's a lot more now. My buddy who's still in, he's like cut off at like, I don't know, like $194,000 a year. And like, he tries to work as little as possible because he can't make any more than that.
Mm-hmm.
So the money's good. But it just wasn't a line of work that I wanted to do. And so that what I was getting at is that transition is difficult. You're trying to find, when you're in the military, you can create a path, but ultimately, like, you're still in the military. You always got a paycheck coming in. You always know kind of what's ahead of in front of you. If you're trying out for something, I tried out for a lot. I mean, I went to a bunch of selections, whether it was, you know, selection to get into Ranger school, you know, selection to get into long range reconnaissance or Delta Force or Special Forces. Like, you're creating a path that of, hey, you look to your left and right and go, maybe there's a place that's more professional, more like-minded like me. And then you get to that place and you stay there for a few years and go, maybe I should move, mm-hmm. you know, without, it's not that you didn't like, you know, yeah. you're just trying to, you know,
better.
What I looked at when I was in the military, you wanted to be the best.
Yeah.
You wanted to make sure that you're surrounded by the best, not necessarily you being the best, but at the same time, you didn't want the people you're surrounded by. You don't want to let them down.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to be surrounded by the best and you want to do the best missions. That's why I joined. It was a pleasure today.
Hey man, thanks for coming in, yeah. especially on such short notice. I know you're so busy with, I don't know, everything you're doing. So
who knows? Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we'll have you back on and
sounds great.
Talk about different things, but I really enjoyed it.
All right. Appreciate it, boss. Yeah.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
This is the time of the year most of us are checking off our holiday gift list. Identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on that list. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every single second and alerts you to the threats you could miss yourself. If your identity is stolen, your own U.S.-based restoration specialist is going to work to fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% off your first year at LifeLock.com with the promo code BECK. Terms apply.
Eldorado Broadcasters invites you to support Crossroads Mission, and our friends at Cal Ranch will match up to every dollar donated, up to $1,000 total. Crossroads Mission serves those at their crossroads in life with programs, services, emergency shelter, free meals, along with drug and alcohol treatment programs in our community. This holiday season, Crossroads Mission will need your support more than ever. With Cal Ranch's match, your money will help twice as many women, men, children, and families. $5, $10, $20, or $50. It all helps. Give today and help transform a life. You can donate directly to Crossroads Mission or donate at Cal Ranch by rounding up. If you're unable to donate money, consider joining the volunteers that help keep Crossroads Mission running smoothly. On behalf of everyone at Eldorado Broadcasters and Crossroads Mission, thank you for your generous help and support, and happy holidays.
Wildlife around the globe needs help. And when you help protect them, you become a friend of the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance.
Thank you for being a friend.
Travel down the road and back again.
Your heart is true, you're a pal and a confidant.
Thank you for helping protect wildlife around the globe. Without you, there's no them. Learn more at sdzwa.org/friend.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies. Because when people don't have to worry about where their next meal is coming from, they can truly thrive. Like Marta.
And now we'll hear from our class valedictorian, who with her hard work never ceases to amaze us. Please welcome Marta Moreno.
And Alex.
Hey, Alex. How did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
I knew it. Let's meet up later to celebrate.
And Diego.
Mom! I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project!
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations!
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. feedingamerica.org/act now. A public service announcement brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.